A better job market means a better stock market. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. Dow up 450 points. The Nasdaq's gaining 230 after more hiring than expected in April. 177,000 jobs created. The unemployment rate stayed the same at 4.2%. The chairman of the White House Council of Economic Advisors, Stephen Moran, says that after new tariffs were announced a month ago,
where the president acted to put American workers and firms first for the first time in decades and try and put them on a level playing field with our foreign competitors by reciprocal tariffs.
But Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal says those tariffs and an ongoing trade war with China
will do grave, lasting, and perhaps irreparable damage to our economy in the short run, sliding us toward a recession.
But President Trump posted on Truth Social this morning, employment is strong and there's no inflation. He again called for an interest rate cut, something the Federal Reserve will consider at a two-day meeting next week. In another Trump post, the president escalates a feud with a university, saying he'll take away Harvard's tax-exempt status and it's what they deserve.
Over anti-Israel protests and admissions programs. Harvard is fighting the Trump administration over more than $2 billion in federal grants being frozen. The administration is also looking at limiting Harvard's ability to enroll international students.
Fox's Jared Halpern at the White House. We're getting more information about Kilmer Abrego Garcia, who was mistakenly deported to El Salvador in March, leading to a court fight that has the Trump administration resisting efforts to bring him back, insisting he is a gang member.
Tennessee Highway Patrol troopers pulled Kilmer Abrego Garcia over for speeding in November 2022. There were eight other people in the car. Abrego Garcia told authorities they were traveling from Houston to Maryland for construction work, but there was no luggage in the car and they all gave the same home address as Abrego Garcia, which led police to believe that this was a human trafficking incident. Abrego Garcia, however, was not charged.
That's Fox's Madeline Rivera. America's listening to Fox News.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Do you find yourself stuck in a timeshare? Get the real facts about the timeshare industry and your options for cancellation. Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group, has put together a free information guide that reveals the secrets the timeshare industry doesn't want you to know, including the five ways to get rid of your timeshare. Call now and get this timeshare cancellation guide absolutely free.
Call 800-893-2288. 800-893-2288. 800-893-2288.
Don't get suckered into the same old free phone game by Big Wireless. There is a better way. Pure Talk, my sponsor, my wireless company, has a better offer. A brand new free Samsung Galaxy with qualifying plan for $35 a month. You get unlimited talk, unlimited text, 15 gigs of data, all on America's most dependable 5G network. Just dial #250, say the keyword Pure Talk for your free Samsung Galaxy with qualifying plan. Pure Talk, wireless by Americans for...
Good morning from the News 11 Information Desk. I'm Scott Gross. Yuma Border Patrol recently dismantled a temporary processing facility. Agents say the facility was set up in 2021 due to the high number of people illegally coming across the border. Taking the facility down saves around $16 million a month. And local sports, for the first time in over a decade, the Yuma Criminals baseball team hosted and won a state playoff game. The 12th seeded Crims defeated Chola 10-0 in the 4A play-in round. Now with the victory, the Criminals now face the number 5 seed Ironwood Ridge this Saturday morning in North Tucson. Also on Saturday, the Antelope baseball team is also in the state playoffs. The Rams are the 16 seed in the Class 1A tournament. It's their first postseason appearance since 2019. The Yuma Catholic Lady Shamrocks enter the 3A playoffs with a home game against Payson. Yuma Catholic enters the postseason as a number 3 seed.
Warmest day of the week will be today, 93 and sunny, 63 the overnight low for tonight. Sunny and 92 on Saturday, 59 on Saturday night. A little bit breezy Saturday. Windier and cooler on Sunday. We'll have sunshine, but a high Sunday of 75, 54 Sunday night.
Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis, senior wealth advisor. Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
About that one.
Good morning, Yuma Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. Happy Friday out there. George Davis Sr. and Russ is here. How you doing, Russ?
I'm officially on a happy Friday, that's all. I'm good.
Happy Friday.
It's a beautiful
to you.
Day out, man.
A beautiful day. Beautiful day to be alive in Yuma, Arizona. Tom, how are you doing? Tom Rush is here with me.
Pretty good. A little tired. Came back from the Teach of the Year last night at 9:30.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that late for you? 9:30?
Yeah, well, when you get up early, you know.
Well, when you're, yeah.
I was nodding off a little bit.
It's a long day, so yeah. It was good, though. It's a good event. I mean, it's always, you know, real nice to acknowledge the teachers and
sounds like
crowd.
we have a good winner. You want to announce who the winner is?
Yeah, winner of the Teacher of the Year is Naomi, I think it's pronounced Farmis. Farmis.
In what school?
She is from Crane Middle School.
Yep. Good for her.
Yeah.
Yeah, she got up and gave a talk afterwards, and she's very inspirational. I think the whole crowd was kind of moved.
Mm-hmm.
She's like a coach, gets everybody riled up.
That's why she won then.
Yeah. Right? So what was one of her benefits of winning, George?
Well, I'll read this little bio it said on her. She has an exceptional ability to build meaningful relationships, a natural gift for connecting with students and colleagues, fostering trust, respect, and mutual understanding. So I could see that just in her speaking last night, you know, when she, like, you want the students to relate to you, just like in our business, you want the clients to be able to relate. So,
yeah, her,
and she includes her colleagues and parents. So
it wasn't her quote was, before I start teaching kids, I got to learn about them, know who they are.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of powerful.
That is. Because
most people just think, oh, I'm going to teach.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
so what were some of her perks of winning, George?
Ooh, she gets, I think she has 3 credit hours.
Hey, why don't you talk about what we gave her first, George?
I'm saving the best for last.
you guys donated a prize. That's
yeah,
great.
We donated
That's
a prize. Great. We donated a prize, a Hawaii trip for two for a full week.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
I think we've been doing that for 20 plus years.
They announced it last night. Was it 21 years?
That's what they said. I mean, I don't remember, but it was over 20 years.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to become a teacher.
You could win Teacher of the Year.
There you go.
No, that's
it was a classy event. The decoration was nice. Food was great. So probably one of the better. They say it's the best teacher groupings in the Arizona. Mm. I mean, it's the most people, and it's the
really
best ran. Even the Teacher of the Year in Maricopa, ours is bigger down there.
Where was it held?
Civic Center.
Civic Center. Okay,
yeah, and it was packed.
Wow. Yeah, it was
wall to wall. Yeah.
I like the way they ran the meal this time. It seemed a lot quicker. You weren't kind of stumbling over that. And they do a great job with different categories. You know, it's not just Teacher of the Year one. It's elementary school, special ed, middle school, high school, college. Everyone's nominated and observed there. So that's good.
Yep. Well, let's talk some money, George.
Yeah, let's talk about oil real quick here because you guys got a little fired up before. So you're telling me, so oil's $58 a barrel. Did you notice that?
That's not the first thing I looked at in the morning, if you ask it.
Well, I think, you know, because I've seen energy, I'm trying to find some value right now with investments. And with the energy down and oil companies down because oil's falling, their dividend goes up. So there's some attractive dividends with some of these energy companies.
Mm-hmm.
But if oil continues to fall per barrel, they say that, you know, these frackers and companies say they can't really make a profit if it's under $65. I don't know what you do when it falls down. You say it's supply and demand. It'll just kind of balance back out and head back up. But during the first Trump administration, it seemed like it was hovering down in the 50s the whole time. So, and that's good for the, I understand that's good for truck drivers and good for
the
economy.
You know, the quickest way to put money into Americans' pockets
is to lower energy costs.
That's when they fill up for gas every 2 weeks or whatever.
Okay.
So that, you know, if oil prices go down, it's good for them. It's good for all the plastics and products made out of petroleum, you know, anything to do with gas, trucking, boating.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
So,
all the plastics.
It's not, you know, here's the thing about economics, and that's why I like majoring in it. It's always pros and cons to everything. So, you know, usually when you go into economics, it's never like, okay, it's one-sided.
Yeah,
because
there's
a plus and there's a negative, and then you got to figure out the balance there. But I wouldn't be worried about it, George. I think these Texans can figure out how to make some money on oil. and if they, the big thing I thought was they're going to try to export more oil and natural gas.
Now, liquefied natural gas.
You know, in this tariff bargaining thing, which they haven't came to terms with really on anybody, I bet you they're in this bargaining thing, they're saying, okay, where do you buy your oil from? And you know, oh, you're buying it from them? Well, hey,
you're buying from Iran? Don't do that.
I know, but they're going to start using that as some leverage to start buying U.S. You watch. That's going to be part of the leverage. Bring back stuff.
Right. Well, we got to be profitable at a certain, but maybe your more demand means higher price from other countries. So that's a good point.
Yeah. So, yeah, I wouldn't worry about it.
Yeah.
I think the liquid gas thing's interesting because, you know, we have supposedly a lot of that. And if now that they can condense it, put it on a boat and ship it over. And
sounds odd, doesn't it, that they can actually, they freeze it.
Make it into solid
they
form.
They make it really cold. And
yeah, solid form, over. And then they take it over there and release it back to gas. But supposedly we're going to supply all that, you know, to cut Europe. Off the Russians. Yeah. But I've never heard too much about that, so that's probably didn't pan out either.
It seems like it's so massive amount that has to go over there. Like, do we have enough tankers and stuff for that? And is it profitable? But I guess so.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of tankers out there, especially now that they're not shipping stuff from China to us with the tariffs. It's not that good to be.
They need something to do
in the shipping business.
Yeah,
but that's interesting, Russ. Because with all, you know, the advent of technology and different advances, that's the type of thing where we used to not ever be, you know, profitable to make that natural gas into a liquefied form where you can condense it and make it worthwhile to ship it.
Yeah,
and still make money.
They seem to do it and do it cheaper than a lot of countries can do it themselves.
But that's a clean energy. I mean, it's a natural gas, I think. Efficient.
What are you, a scientist,
clean.
George?
I mean,
I don't know. About 2 weeks ago, they stated, I read that they came up with it's infusion energy where it perpetuating.
Is that the water one?
No, it's the one where it's like the sun and it runs forever. It's going to be basically almost free energy if they can do it. But they ran it for like 4 minutes before it flamed out again.
Okay.
So we're getting close to that. Energy fusion, I think the name of it is.
Yeah, I know what you're talking
and
about.
And once it does that, it's going to eliminate a lot of things. Gas, natural gas, because that's going to be the cheapest form.
Yeah.
They say they're getting close to that, and there was a thing in Europe that said they ran it for like 4 minutes, and then it kind of spit it out again.
Yeah.
But
they'll get it right someday.
Yeah,
that would be huge. I mean, that'd be like a energy production that would be last for almost your whole lifetime.
Yeah, well, it would last forever if they did it right.
Forever, yeah.
But I listen to a lot of these newsletters, and one of the predictions was from this guy who's a billionaire. He said that the next trillionaire who's going to be worth $1 trillion, and at this point no one is, I think Elon Musk got up to $400 billion.
$400 billion.
But basically he thinks it's going to be energy related to infusion.
Oh, okay.
The first person who opens that thing is going to be a big deal because it's immediate for everybody. Like, I mean, every country. I mean, look what happened in Spain and Portugal. They're out of power the whole country for a couple of days, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's tough on everybody.
That is tough.
So
something California could use.
So as of April, we're into May now. So we're, you know, years flying by. But here's some stats on what's going on. So gold is up 25%. Foreign stocks are up 11%. Foreign bonds are up 9%. TIPS, which are treasuries, are up 4.4%. U.S. bonds are up 3.2%. Real estate is up 0.2%, so almost even. Negative are commodities, probably has to do with the oil.
Mm-hmm.
And then U.S. stocks are down about 5%. So so the big question is, why is gold going up so much? The million-dollar question for both of you guys. Any ideas?
Well, that's where people put their money when they're unsure about the volatility of the markets, don't they?
Well, but I don't know if you've seen what's happening with countries buying in the U.S. Treasury.
They've been
pulling back a lot. So they're probably finding, I'm guessing, other areas like gold.
It's driven the price up like crazy. What is it up this year, like 20%, 30% or something?
25.5%, yeah. So
3,000-something.
Yeah, so that's my guess is.
So when you read that, Tom, what comes to mind for me is diversification. You always hear that word, but some people say, like the international stocks. You mentioned international maybe, I don't know, 6 months ago, people just kind of, whoa, why would I want international? The U.S. is the place to be. And they're up what, 8?
11.
11.
Second place, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean.
Foreign bonds are up 9%, that third place.
Yeah, so having some international exposure and moving some of those winnings from the U.S. into international is a good move. You get more diversified.
The thing about the international market, which really was a bad spin on it, is if you look at their numbers compared to the U.S. numbers over the last 10 years, it's terrible.
Yeah.
Like the U.S. is like double the performance. So people eventually gravitate to not making money and they get impatient. But eventually foreign's going to come into play.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the, you know, I think you're better off, you know, dollar cost averaging, but buy things that are really, really out of favor and then just sit tight. And if it goes even lower, then maybe buy some more. It goes lower, buy some more.
Mm-hmm.
But the foreign stocks aren't going away. I think 60% of all the country publicly traded companies in the world are international.
60?
60. So that's, you know, not going to go away.
Hmm.
So the interesting thing is, I think February 14th was a high point in the market, and it was zooming along, and then it took about a 15% correction in general with the NASDAQ, the S&P, and then it rebounded back about 8%, 8 or 9. So it's definitely, I don't think it's figured out what direction it wants to go in.
Yeah. If anything, volatility. But if you're dollar cost averaging in, and we think that's your best friend right now, you're putting that money to work in this market, and people are like, why would I want to do that? Because if you're trying to find the top or the bottom, that's very difficult to do. So if you're dollar cost averaging in, you're going to be buying in these valleys, and that's where the true wealth is built longer term.
Yeah. So let me test your skills.
So I usually say people to actually bump up their contributions. If you can, if you have the wherewithal, defer more, you're saving taxes, and you're putting in when there's some opportunity here.
Yeah. So let me put you on the spot here, buddy.
All right.
So when the market gets hit hard, like, you know, it was down 15% for a while.
Peak to trough.
Yeah. What are some of the things people should be thinking about doing to enhance their financial situation? You just said dollar cost average. What's another one?
Dollar cost average. Roth conversion.
Yep. That's it. Now, a lot of people don't think about this, but anyone can convert money from an IRA to a Roth IRA, Bill Gates, billionaire, anybody. And when you convert, you have a one-shot time to do it. You can't. The old days, you can convert, and if you didn't like the price, you can move it back.
Recharacterization, yeah.
Yeah, but they did away with that. So, but basically, if the market drops 15, 20, 25%, and it will someday, a great time to start moving pre-tax money to after-tax money, because a Roth would be tax-free on the way out, which is a really big deal, especially if you leave it in there for, you know, mm-hmm. more than 10 years. So keep that in mind. I mean, that's a great play.
What's the advantage there? Why would I want to, markets down, why would I want to convert as opposed to being earlier?
Well, let's just say you have a $10,000 IRA and you convert it when the market's high, you're going to get $10,000 taxable.
Yep.
And then your $10,000 that's going to be put in the Roth will be tax deferred and tax free forever.
Okay.
For you, your wife, your kids. So let's just say your $10,000 drops to $7,000, and when you convert it, you only pay $7,000 in taxes, and then you make the assumption that will eventually go back up again.
Mm.
So you get a big tax advantage from converting at a low point than a high point.
Because I'm buying in when I'm low, and instead of the gains being taxed later, these are going to be tax free. So you get this tax free growth to buy in when the market's down.
Yeah, I mean, no one wants to pay $10,000 in taxes if you can make it seven,
yeah.
and own the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But look, think about the rule of 72. As far as how long to double your money, you divide the return into it. So the S&P on average has done about 9%, 10%. Let's call it 9. So it takes you about 8 years to double your money. So any money you move to a Roth and you can leave it there for 8+ years, assuming you get 9% return. I mean, that's 100% of your account value back up. So then when you start pulling that money out, it's zero tax. So that's the big benefit, is keeping it in there long enough so it can grow.
Mm-hmm.
If you can keep it in there for 18 years, now you got $4 for every $1 you converted. That comes out tax-free.
Yeah.
And then with our $35 trillion deficit or whatever it is, if they start putting the pinch on raising taxes, which I think they will, the Roth IRAs, you won't have effect on that, meaning if the tax rate goes up a lot in the next 20 years, mm-hmm. when you pull your IRA money out, your 401k money out, it's taxable. You're going to feel the pinch of the higher tax. But the Roth, you don't feel the pinch.
Yeah.
So if you're a believer that we're going to have higher taxes, another reason why you would want to look at a Roth for your 401k or that.
Mm-hmm.
So
we're up against our first break here, Tom. This is Money Talk, AM560 KBLU. We'll be right back.
This is Derek Eggeberg, NMLS number 180899 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace. Place offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626.
At Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management, we believe that knowledge is power. Since 2001, we've empowered the Yuma community with the financial insights and the strategies needed to achieve your dreams. Whether you're planning for retirement or managing your wealth, our team is here to guide you every step of the way. Investment advisor services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. The opinions voiced.
Welcome back, Yuma. Money Talk AM 560 KBLU. Got my Ohana tickets, Tom. Ohana Festival out there at San Juan Capistrano in September.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't usually promote music festivals, but this is a good one.
Who's playing?
You know, have you heard of Hozier? Hozier?
Yeah. Never heard of it.
Take Me to Church.
Never heard of that either, George.
You want to sing it?
No. Yeah, yeah. And then also...
Hey, when were you born? Like in the 1940s or what?
Oh, come on. I was born in the 60s. He's pretty new. You'll recognize him.
Is it country or what kind of church is it? Church music?
No, it's just that's the name of the song.
Oh.
The other one's Kings of Leon. Have you heard of Kings of Leon?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I have. Okay. Yeah, they were good like 10 years ago, right, or something?
I don't know. But anyway, it's right there at Doheny State Park in San Juan Capistrano, Dana Point. So the weather's beautiful. And
you're going to be there?
Yeah, September.
All right.
Hey. The Ohana Festival. Look it up, Russ. It's good stuff.
How's this pretendable to our listeners?
Well, I mean, just, you know, people from Yuma to Dana Point is about, what, 3 hours, three and a half?
George, I don't think they care about your vacation, George.
I think I do. I'm interested.
I'm just telling you, if you like music, like when we went, Sting was there. It was awesome.
And, oh, yeah?
Yeah, One Republic. There's some good bands. And
oh, yeah.
It's pretty fun. You cruise around. You're right by the ocean. The weather's beautiful. Just hang out and listen to music.
You can tell he's getting close to retirement.
Like, yeah. No, man.
Well, if you like a variety of bands, you know, there's like by six or eight that play all day long.
If he gets one on the radio show. So what else we got?
This year.
What else we got, George?
Yeah, I wanted to talk a little more about the Roth conversions because I think that's you're spot on with especially when the market's down. But the other thing is you're not forced to take a required minimum distribution, an RMD, and people – after you turn 73 now, they change the age. When you're retired or I guess still working possibly, but when you're retired and you're taking and you reach 73, you have to do a required minimum distribution where you're forced to take money out of your IRA or 401k or whatever the qualified plan is. So that's not that big a deal sometimes, but if you're, you know, that could force you into a different tax bracket, Tom. So if you're also, Medicare costs, like if someone is, you know, they take that income into effect when you're paying for Medicare. So that might throw you into, you know, more expensive for Medicare. And if you can't control that with a Roth IRA where you're not forced to take a required minimum distribution,
sure,
you know, for planning purposes, that's a big deal. So Roth conversions also help you later when it comes to that RMD because you're not forced to take one.
Yeah.
So.
The other good thing about a Roth is if you inherit a Roth from someone besides your spouse, so probably your parents or somebody, the rule is you have to have it all terminated within 10 years. So unlike an IRA account, most people don't want to just pull it out the last year because your bracket might be up high. Mm-hmm. So you usually draw a little bit every year or so till it terminates and pulls it all out in 10 years. But a Roth, you can keep the whole amount in there for another 10 years. What happens in 8 years in a Roth?
Doubles
if you're in the market, hopefully. So that way, when you do pull it out on the 10th year, no mm-hmm. tax on any of it, and you just doubled your inheritance.
And it doesn't go towards your income.
You just doubled your inheritance, taxable. Too.
Yeah.
How do you like that, George?
I like that one, Tom. I like the Roth conversions. Hey, okay, I got one for you, since you were trying to ask me these questions. Dump me. If someone inherits an IRA, beneficiary IRA, non-spouse.
Yeah.
So a kid, they inherit, and they get what's called a beneficiary IRA. Can you convert that?
No.
Ooh, nice one.
Yeah, can't convert those to the Roth.
Yeah, you can't convert a Benny IRA.
Do another one, George.
See
what you can do.
I was trying to stump him, and he nailed it. With authority. He wasn't even like...
Wow. He didn't have to think about it.
Even when he's tired, yeah. So that's a good one, Tom.
Hey, so let's talk about what happens if someone does bankruptcy and how are their retirement accounts looked at? Because basically creditors can go after certain assets, or if you're bankrupt, you know, the people could come after, or if you get sued or something. So basically with IRA accounts, Roth IRA accounts, it's up to the state. There's a state ruling, but they basically let you, for Arizona, you're up to like $1.5 million where they can't take that money, either in bankruptcy, lawsuit.
Creditors coming after your money.
Creditors, yeah. So it's up to $1.5 million for IRA and Roth IRAs.
Now, same for a house, too, right, I think, for bankruptcy. It depends on the state, though. Some states can take it. Like California can take your house. Florida can't.
Yeah, I'm not sure in Arizona. It might be a good Google. But here's the other thing about this is where was I going with this?
It also applies. Well, you're talking about states which are more applicable to IRAs and Roths, where federally with the ERISA guidelines, 401ks and retirement plans are more protected from federal, actually.
Yeah, but actually, while you say more protected, guess how much? If you have a qualified retirement plan, which is like a 401k, 457, mm-hmm. 403b, guess what the max is that creditors can't touch?
Unlimited. Yeah.
Yeah. And can you imagine that? You have $2-4 million somehow in an IRA account and mm-hmm. not an IRA, a 401k.
A 401k.
And that's why, who's the guy that that got off for killing his wife?
O.J. Simpson.
O.J. Simpson. Mm. Still had a good lifestyle because he had like $2-3 million or, I don't know, $5 million in his retirement account with playing for the football.
Yeah, for the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's why people wondered. I think he owed the family like $80 million or $100 million or some number.
Right.
But he always had a pretty good lifestyle.
So the creditors can never come after his retirement plan.
His retirement plan, which means he can live on it.
Mm-hmm. So that's a 401k. How about the IRA and the Roth?
Well, you know, it's up to the state, but each state's different. But in Arizona, it's $1.5 million.
Yeah.
But, you know, that would give you enough to probably live a decent life.
And then there's also something about, Tom, of that IRA money, it's contributions and gains. It's not conversions, for example. So if you convert, you know, a couple hundred grand or 250 grand, that doesn't count towards that 1.5 million count. So you're protected even more. That's your contributions and gains in the IRA, which I thought was kind of interesting.
So you're saying if you convert an IRA to Roth and then you get sued, that money is not, I think it's as long
that
as
it doesn't count towards the 1.5 cap.
I put some money on that. It doesn't make sense to me.
Okay.
Well, I mean, because, you know.
Lunch?
As long as it's in an IRA account or a retirement account, what they're saying is you can't pull the money. Like the second you pull money out of an IRA account, say mm-hmm. you have a bill you got to pay, $10,000, right when it gets pulled out, the creditors can come after it.
Yeah, if you pull it out.
Yeah, but if you do a conversion, you're not pulling anything out. It's going
right,
from one
it.
Retirement to another. Yeah.
So I'm saying it's protected, you can't come out and get it.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it is protected.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I thought you said it wasn't.
I mean, you're saying that $1.5 million is protected by the state. I'm saying it could be higher if some of that is conversion money.
I don't know about that.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not saying it's pulled out.
No. Yeah, break. We'll
if you pull it out,
we'll Google it. We'll ask Gronk or something.
If you pull it out, you're right. It's,
yeah, you know, once you touch it, it's touchable.
Yeah.
So, like, for example, let's just say creditors can't come after you because you have a lot of, you have a million in your IRA account, and the bankruptcy says, no, you can't go after that. But then next week, you want to pull all that million out and put it in your bank account, then it's fair game again.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. But, oh, the other thing about putting money into a retirement account is you have to do it 4 months before bankruptcy or they count it. So a lot of people, you know, try to move money around to not when they go bankrupt so they can keep some of it. But mm-hmm. if you you have to have money in there 4 months before you file for bankruptcy.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know about that part.
Yeah. So let's just say, you know, you want to put 30 grand off your 401k to fund it completely. You have, you know, you can't just do it next week and then file bankruptcy. You have to, has to be a little buffer in there 4 months.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay, I'm going to read this part to you and you tell me, maybe I'm interpreting it wrong. So the amount of IRA funds are free from creditors. The dollar limit's indexed every 3 years based on cost of living. April 1, the dollar limit increased from $1.5 million to $1.7 million, effective through March 31, 2028. Importantly, this dollar limit does not take into account amounts rolled over from employer plans like 401ks. The rolled over plan dollars are always fully protected under the bankruptcy code.
So that's saying if you roll over a 401k to an IRA, then it's protected?
Yep. Above the 1.7. That doesn't count towards the 1.7 thing.
Yeah, but what,
so only IRA contributions and their earnings count towards the 1.7 million limit.
Hmm. Interesting. I mean, if you have an IRA account and then you roll over your 401k, the money gets commingled. So I wonder how they wonder who figures that out. Seems like
I see what you're saying. That would be the easiest way to separate, because if you were over that 1.7, which is pretty hard to do it with just contributions and gains, it's possible. But the rollover part is what really puts people over the top.
Yeah. Well, if you're worried about that, what you could do is open up a whole nother IRA account, roll your 401k to that, and just always isolate it. So if anything ever went down, you would it's not tainted.
Yeah, because you could have more than one IRA.
Yeah. So that might not be a bad idea if you're worried about that.
Yeah, I am worried about that.
Driving's getting kind of bad.
Yeah, I like that one, Tom. So on the company plans, the 401ks, you're saying there's no there's no limit, like the 1.7 for states?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my understanding is unlimited.
Because of ERISA, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Which is what mandates the 401k rules compared to IRAs and Roth, which are not ERISA-covered plans. How about simples and SEPs and things like that?
Nope, they're considered IRAs.
Yeah, they are.
Yep, they don't count.
They're not protected like a 401k if you have a qualified but plan. But how many solos?
You look at the average American, who has $1.7 million in an IRA account?
Right.
Probably 5%, 3%. I mean, it's not a high number.
No, but people like O.J. Simpson you were talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But how about if you have $1.7 million, your wife has $1.7 million, are you over? Is that per person?
Good question. Can you declare bankruptcy as a family, as together?
Per
person?
We'll find out when we get right back. This is Money Talk, 5, 6 a.m.
All right. Before I go, though, you do have a comment from a listener.
Ooh.
Says, always listen on your show on my way in. I was listening to Tom and George talk about Dana Point music. I tell Tom, I like hearing about George's ability to take a vacation and listen to music. That's awesome. Happy Friday.
Every Sunday's getting more bleak. A fresh poison each week. We were born sick. You heard them say it. My church offers no absolutes. She tells me worship in the bedroom. The only heaven I'll be sent to.
This is Derek Eggerberg, NMLS number 180899 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace. Place offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626.
At Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management, we've been proudly serving the Yuma community since 2001. Your financial future deserves the personalized care and expertise that only a local, trusted advisor can provide. From retirement planning to wealth management, we're here to help you reach your goals with confidence. Investment Advisor Services, offered through CWM LLC and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush, George Davis, another great morning in Yuma. Russ Clark just got a text from somebody saying that we should let you talk about your concert series in California. Anything else you want to say about that, George?
No, I just like to say that, you know, I never knew our listeners were so educated and, mm-hmm. and smart. That was one of the better comments our listeners have made.
Wow. Yeah, they kind of told me to go...
To allow a little fun on Friday, Tom?
Sure. Fun Friday?
Oh, business. So what do we got now? We're talking about the 401k, the ERISA plans, IRAs. I had a list here of ERISA plans that are not, if you're certain types of plans, because I mentioned the simples and the IRAs are not covered by ERISA. Right. ERISA is typically 401. People think of 401ks.
Yeah. ERISA basically means that it's controlled by your employer. Right? I mean, simples are controlled by your employer, so I guess that's not the case.
Well, ERISA is a government program that, you know, I'm not sure what the acronym stands for, but that's the body that looks over the plans and makes sure you're in compliance, has your third-party administrator, all that stuff that goes with the 401k plan, meaning that they're basically the government says, okay, this is, you know, you can't be top-heavy. You got to treat all your employers equally. But there are certain plans that are not in ERISA, and I didn't know about this one, but solo 401ks, those aren't ERISA protected.
Okay.
So that one would be.
So SEP, simples, solo 401ks.
Solo and 401ks, SEP, simples. 403B plans sponsored by not-for-profit companies, such as hospitals, if they don't make contributions to the plan.
Oh.
So, but if it's a 403B, so and you have a match, then that would be ERISA.
Okay.
So.
It's good to know.
Yeah, it is.
Put that in my back pocket there, George.
Thanks, Tom. So, anyway, for my listener, you sign up with Ohana, O-H-A-N-A, and you can get from them, they'll send you notices and stuff and keep you informed of when these
Is that a tribe, Indian tribe?
Or? Ohana?
Yeah.
I think it's Hawaiian.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Interesting. Hawaii and California?
Yeah, interesting, you know, tropical plants and things like that, and palm trees. So, and you want to talk about...
What's a ticket cost? An all-day event?
That was about $400 a piece.
Ooh, dang, big spender George.
Yeah, it was $200.
Hey, Russ, when's the last time you spent $400 on a ticket?
Never.
Okay, see?
Never? Yeah. I think that's 2 days.
I mean, maybe a plane ticket, but not
2 days, like 10 bands. How do you get away with it? I have a friend that went to the Eagles concert at the Sphere.
Yeah.
It was amazing. But if you look at those, you're looking at 400 plus.
In the past, I've been to a lot of concerts, but it's usually been comp tickets I get, times.
I heard somewhere that Beyonce's on tour in L.A. There's like 3,000 seats that haven't been sold yet. And that's happening like quick. But I think they said they're like $1,000 seats or something. I don't know. People just aren't buying them.
I understood some of those have been going for, you know, Happy Meal prices. So there's where you go get happy, get a happy.
Towards the end, you just try to get people in the seats.
Oh, for Beyonce?
Beyonce.
Beyonce?
Yeah. Come on, George. Music guy, you should know how to pronounce names.
I don't really listen to Beyonce.
You don't?
No.
She's awesome. I like her music, actually.
She took a dive in a lot of her attendances to her concerts after she promoted Kamala Harris on stage and didn't sing.
Yeah,
they highlighted her. Beyonce's gonna be here. Everyone thought she was gonna sing, so they went to the rally, and she didn't sing, so they were mad.
Hey, so you gonna sleep in your car when you're there, or what's the arrangement on where you gotta stay?
No, I'm splurging tent for a hotel.
What, that much money for tickets? You're still going to get a hotel? Man, you're big.
Sleep on the beach or what?
Well, okay, so I've been married 25 years. October's our anniversary.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So it's an anniversary present.
Yeah.
Oh,
so okay. My wife's like, are you going to be cheap? It's our anniversary, 25th. I'm like, oh, you're right.
That, she's paying her share, right?
Yeah, she's paying her share.
Hey, that is a cheap anniversary weekend.
Yeah.
So you got off early.
For 25th. Yeah.
Wow.
I think on my 25th, I took a trip to Europe, George.
Ooh.
That was a little pricey, but
yeah, you're better
trying to support the economy.
Yeah. That's why international stocks.
Our economy or theirs?
Yeah.
Somebody's.
He's helping with that 11% return year to date, Russ.
Yeah.
Hey, Russ, share with us that LNG, liquefied natural gas tankers. I thought that was interesting. What was it, $100,000 a day to rent
a ship? Now, there's special ships that make the trips because they're cold, refrigerated. It's condensed refrigerated gas.
It's almost it's freezing. You have to go like under negative.
Yeah,
it's a hot. It's a
and
low.
Don't let that thing get hot. I don't know what happens, but I don't think it'd be a big deal. I think it'd be a big deal. Like refrigerator broke because gas is getting hot. And I thought, well, let's abandon ship.
I mean, they probably actually have pressure valves. If not, it'd blow up, right?
I have no idea.
I'm pretty sure.
But it costs $250 million to manufacture one of those.
Oh, to build one.
To build ones, $250 million. They rent them out for $100,000 a day. The fleet has 774 of them, which is a lot.
Oh, that's a lot.
And they can hold like 170,000 cubic meters of gas, which runs $100 million about in gas. On one trip, they're going to carry
$100 million?
$100 million in gas in one trip.
Wow.
And then plug it in.
Yeah,
I guess it'll last you a while.
Yeah,
I don't know how far 100 cubic meters.
So I wonder what they do for protection on those things. You don't get like the bandits and the pirates coming after the liquefied natural gas.
They'd be disappointed. You can't load that in your boat, man.
They're like,
so you said it's $250 million to build.
Yeah.
So that means if assuming you rent it out every day, which I'm sure is not the case, but it'd take you about 6.8 years to recoup your money, assuming there's no banks involved.
Wow. They don't get hijacked.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like an investment I want to make then. That's a long time to get your money back.
It's not for the week,
I don't know. But there's a market.
I wonder if you can take a current ship, a current cargo
ship. Retrofit it?
And make it.
Probably cost you.
I doubt it.
Or if you have to actually build it from scratch.
I would think, because it's so specialized to handle all that cooling and everything.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, so just come off of $250 million and buy one.
Yeah. Instead of renting it for $100,000 a day?
So, we know we have a lot of natural gas. I mean, that's a given. But the big question is, with the rare metals, that's the big thing. I think China controls 90% of it.
Yeah,
where are we going to start drilling for
Ukraine.
Mining?
Ukraine.
Someone told me Reno.
Well,
there are some places in the States that are going to start going after it. They have to.
They've
talking about the rare earth elements, things like that?
Metals, yeah.
Oh, metals?
Because Ukraine
could, I mean... Yeah, if you get the right person in Ukraine and they team back up with Putin, they could kick us out.
Well, we just signed a deal with them.
I know, but you sign deals all the time, Russ. Yeah. Well, how many deals they're like, no, get out of my yard?
Yeah.
What are you going to do, right?
But we can. It's rare earth minerals are all over the world. They're not that rare. It's rare
not
for
that
someone
many
to mine.
In Ukraine, Russ.
Pardon?
The rare earths. There's some, but there's not that much.
What do you say?
Apparently, there's very large amounts.
It's like the second or third largest in the world, George.
Yeah, it's very large amounts.
Hey, what rock are you living under?
Why do you think Putin wants them?
Hey, you know who has a lot, though, is India. And India's starting to go after that, too.
And China, of course, owns the market on it right now. I mean, China is the big boy, and they do all of it. And that's why the U.S. is nervous. Like, we don't get it that much from anywhere else, a large portion from coming from China. China's not allowed to go in the Ukraine. That's part of the deal. The deal that they signed was that no country that supported Russia during the war can participate in the mining. It can only be allies of that helped United States.
So hindsight, when we pulled out of Afghanistan, supposedly they have a lot of metals in that country.
I don't know.
Yeah, they do. They tested.
I'd be a little more afraid of Afghanistan.
China moved in.
A deal and left some
no,
people
China
there.
Already struck a deal with them. That's starting to go into Afghanistan to do the metals.
Oh.
But we probably
China
that.
Took over that airport that we gave.
We missed that boat. We could have kept it there, kept everybody in.
Yeah.
And then people had jobs if they're doing a lot of mining.
Administration missed the boat.
Administration?
Biden.
I think it starts with a B.
Yeah, the administration at that time missed the boat.
Didn't you vote for him, George?
Yeah, he pulled out. He abandoned the air base which was odd. I thought we, I mean, Trump wanted to keep it, the air base. He was going to pull out the troops, but not the base.
Yeah, because, you know, when you're flying around on that side of the world, you need places to land, right? I mean, especially those big planes. And
it was a great presence to be there, just like we do in Cuba. We have an air base.
And the money to develop an air base, probably. Right. You have to get the
We spent a lot of money.
And all that.
What do you use?
But anyways, rare metals in the United States, I heard Reno has some.
Sure, they do.
But
so does California over in the Salton Sea area.
That's more for the batteries, right?
So is rare earth. That's lithium.
Yeah. But I think lithium's more common than some other rare earth for the magnets for the electric cars.
Yeah.
To have a magnet in an electric car, there's some other. It's not lithium, right? Is it lithium?
No.
That's for the battery. Yeah. Some other metal to make magnets or make magnets stronger. So I think what you should do, George, is this weekend get your little metal detector out and go out to Castle Dome and a pick and see if you can go out there and find
some rare earth.
Find some, see if you
minerals?
Can. Yeah, and then stake your claim.
Not a bad idea.
I mean, you know, we have a lot of mountain ranges and stuff. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
There's gold up there, too.
There's some kind of metals.
$1,000 plus an ounce.
Well, magnets are made out of iron, cobalt, nickel. So cobalt, nickel are the big ones.
Okay. The cobalt plant's going in out here, right?
Well, refining.
Refining cobalt?
I mean, supposedly. I mean, until they break ground.
But nickel, we have a lot of it around Reno. And Tesla actually bought the property, wants to mine it. And they got held up by EPA and told no for a long time. So it's getting permits to build.
I'm sure that's on fast track now that we got.
You would hope so. Yeah. You would hope so.
Wonder what kind of metals are around Yuma, because, you know, silver and gold was big. I think some copper, right? But
There has been. I don't think there's enough to do the copper mines. That's Greenlee area and all that. Does that.
We should get a
lead was big. In fact, World War II, apparently a lot of the lead for World War II came out of Yuma County.
Was it the leftover slag?
It was out of the silver mines over there. I think the
leftovers, right? They used that slag.
I don't know.
There.
It was filled with lead, and apparently it was on the bombing wish list for the Japanese, if they could get into the mainland, was to bomb that mine because it was supplying all the lead, or most of the lead, for World War II.
For pencils?
Castle Dome mine. Not a Castle Dome. Yeah, Castle Dome out there, that museum. Hall mine out there.
Okay.
Yeah, that's interesting. So what else do they use? What do they produce with the rare metals for? I mean, what do they make? I'm talking about batteries, but all types of things, for missiles, right?
I think
it's electric cars and missiles are the key things.
Missiles?
Well, you know, like, for Lockheed Martin or somebody to build.
Oh, okay. So that's why it's so... China is so much into it, too.
There's 17 metallic elements in the rare metals.
Can you pronounce them all, or are they kind of weird?
Lithium is one of them.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
So lithium is one of them.
So when they use the word rare, how rare is it?
Like, it's not like, rare at all. It's all over.
Oh, okay.
The term rare refers to difficulty and cost extraction, not the abundance. Yeah,
the final product.
Not gonna, like, run out.
The final
soon
product is rare, not it's, the actual it's, element. It's,
oh, okay.
It's kinda,
interesting.
It's rare because you've got to move so much material.
Does it list all 17 of them? What are they? I'm curious.
I don't see the list here. I'll find it. Oh, here it is. Stuff I can't pronounce.
Okay. How about the ones you can pronounce? Nickel's on there?
Lithium's in there. Good Lord.
Wonder if they have this stuff like on the moon or Mars.
I'm going to have to give it to you and let you pronounce them all, man. I don't know them.
George is a great pronouncer.
Yeah,
I definitely know George.
I would know what I was talking about.
He was linguistic in college.
I'd have to study that and come back on the air.
So actually, George's point that talking about, you know, mining space and the moon or some of the things that fly by, but they said some of those things could be
asteroids.
Yeah, they could be loaded with these. Like, I mean, they could be worth billions and billions of dollars if they can figure out how to get them. And the moon, did anyone take samples? I know China made it up there and they took samples of the moon to see what might be up there for metals.
They were
up there. What they did that, what, about 3-4 months ago? They since
we've got satellites around the Mars right now.
But would that tell you what kind of metals? Metals?
I don't remember.
Seems like you'd have to like.
But what they're really looking for, the number one thing they're looking for, is water, because water is what's going to make habitation possible, and water deposits are what they're looking for.
Well, if you're going to drill for metals, I think you need water for that to keep things cool, right? On the drills and all that?
I don't know. I would think so, but stay alive would be nice. Water.
But don't you think before they get to that point on the moon that they would probably be able to mine it, but easier than living on it?
Yeah, there's no gravity, so. I mean, the gravity is very limited. So yeah.
Well, if they get that fusion energy like you're talking about, and that's just unlimited, you'd probably power a rocket with that.
They've talked about it.
Make these things then, more.
Yeah.
Did you hear they found a, something, I don't know, it's 250,000 light years away, but it looks like Earth. They did a picture of it. You can see the, it's very similar to how Earth looks with the clouds and all that.
Ooh.
Did you hear
I
about
that? I
didn't
see that one.
Yeah, yeah. They said that they found it, I think, like a month ago, and they said they're sure there's, They have traction of water, which is a key part, but they said there has to be life on this thing.
Wow.
But it's so far away.
Yeah.
It's one of the, I think it circles another planet or something, one of the, mm-hmm. like, yeah. So,
I wonder how long it takes that image to get there. I mean, don't you see the image coming back, and that image is so many years old because it's just so far away?
That's above my pay grade, George.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, I've heard that.
Somehow they think it's like the reflection from like the atmosphere. They can tell stuff, and they can tell like it's not necessarily, but so it'd be interesting to see what Elon Musk says he wants to be in Mars by what, like 3-4 years, right? At least the first rocket. Maybe not living there, but
it keeps changing the dates.
It keeps getting closer, not
farther away. Yeah, it keeps getting
closer.
Yeah, it gets farther away. But so far, the ship that is going to be landing there, the Starship, blows up every time.
Oh yeah, he hasn't.
It's only up. You know, it's only been the third one coming or fourth. I don't know which one it is. But they're all experimental. There's nobody on them, and they're not outfitted yet. They're just working out the equipment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's fascinating that we see this in our lifetime. That one that the one that took off, that took the female people, the females up to the space there.
You liked that, didn't you, George?
I did like that one. But that you see those engines on that thing? It's just like, man, that was just amazing. Yeah, the power behind
much bigger
that,
than the Saturn.
All that carbon footprint coming back to us, George.
Yeah. That's what we like about it.
Yeah. Everyone's complaining about it because they just did it for fun, and then the carbon footprint.
We want a greener.
I don't think they
a greener planet.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty amazing.
So I don't know if people follow space stocks, but the space stocks have done pretty well.
Have they?
Yeah. I mean,
Tesla's not one of them. I mean, SpaceX, because it's private still.
Yeah.
Can't buy
it. But there's like mutual funds out there that just do anything related to space. Now, it could be building rockets for space. So I'm not, but they say that's a whole new industry, that just the way the internet sprung out of nowhere, and internet's a pretty good sector to be in, right? They say space is going to be one of those, whether it's going to be either satellites, promoting mining or something.
SpaceX launches like 60 rockets a year plus. You know, people don't even realize it, but they're going crazy. We launch a lot.
Those are, have you seen the ones over here that come out of California? They're pretty cool. They're cool looking.
At nighttime, you can see them.
Like, yeah.
Well, wonder why they have the dots on them. You notice that? Like, it's like a stream of light. I've seen it a couple of times where it looks like you think of a rocket wind, it'd be like one item moving up, but it looks like it's like a string of them or something.
I
don't know if they put them up like together. Like,
I don't have Elon's number. We'd call him.
Yeah.
So on this investment for something about space, Tom, so when you're talking about like different technologies that are making this advancements in space. I mean, like...
Well, I think it's brand new technology for the most part because...
But like you talk about Mars. I mean, I would think instead of a human, you could probably have a robot there pretty soon. You know, somebody that doesn't have to breathe the air and can go grab stuff and at least carry it back to the ship. You know, things like that are just...
Yeah, I'm sure that's AI not, that's probably not the harder part. The harder part is getting in the rocket to land and not... blow up or, you know.
Yeah, and make it. So, yeah. But if you had robots and AI instead, I guess if it blew up, it wouldn't be real people.
They don't really want it to hit hard. You know, it's hard to slow it down. It's going in so fast.
But probably like they go upside down again like the other one, right? Kind of just landed that way.
And they're saying because of no winds or stuff on the moon, that they can go up and upside down. It's not going to get blown over or anything. It's stable.
If Mars does have winds.
There's bad winds on Mars, right? It's like a stormy. I'm talking about the moon anyway.
The moon, yeah. They say they could just land it straight up and down. It's not the wind. There's no wind. There's no nothing to knock it over.
But for it to come back, wouldn't you have to land it not all the way on the ground, but let it get caught in something so that it has the booster to go back up?
No, it takes right off again, right from there. Just like the Apollo had a one takeoff. It was just sitting on the ground.
Oh, was it? Like on the ground, on the ground? I thought it was left.
It had legs.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, the legs.
SpaceX has legs.
Yeah, okay, yeah. That makes sense.
They have legs. They fold down.
They'll land.
Because they land on tankers now. You know, you've seen the boosters land on tankers out in the ocean. Yeah, that legs fold down.
They fold down. Okay.
Yeah. So what are some other industries that are becoming new, brand new?
Artificial intelligence.
AI.
That's a big one.
Yeah. The thing about AI that's kind of false is these companies have been doing it for 10 years, but it's morphed into AI.
Depends on what you call AI.
But it's not like it's like the internet came out of nowhere. Space, I mean, we had stuff in space, but nothing like we have now, but... The other thing that's become a big deal is quantum computing.
Well, that's now part of the AI thing too. Is they need that kind of computing?
Yeah, but it's been around. IBM's been doing it forever, but I think they're getting the point where it's actually starting to work better.
They don't even understand why it works. That's which is interesting. You sit down and listen to somebody explain quantum computing, they don't really know why.
Is that related to like Musk is doing, where you have that chip or something in a body of someone that's paralyzed, and then
Neuralink.
That's a new one.
I think
too.
Quantum computing is kind of like AI. Like if there's a problem, AI will try to solve it in a million different ways quicker than a human.
Yeah.
Because they said I just saw Microsoft. They said 20% of their programming now is done by AI, not by humans. Mm-hmm. But I think with quantum computing, it just speeds everything up.
So now you can
do it in 10 times faster than the other computing guy.
But they say still the AI to get where they want to go, where it starts free thinking and everything. We need more power. And they're talking, in fact, Three Mile Island, remember it shut down the nuclear plant in the 70s? They're right now opening it back up and refueling it just for AI.
Microsoft bought it.
Was it Microsoft?
Microsoft bought it, yep.
I don't remember who it was. It was Microsoft.
Yeah,
just for AI because they need the power to power AI. And I was like, what are you guys putting together that you need that to work the brain? Brain works on post-toasties.
The projections on the electric grid, they're saying by like 2035 or so that we need almost double the production of, more than double the production of energy.
You guys got about 35 seconds.
One thing, I was talking to my son, he's 14, Tom, and I was asking about AI.
Is he going on the trip with you, George?
Hey, what if you send, like an email or something out, and people are like, oh, that was generated by AI. It's obvious.
Yeah, it's good.
I told him that, and he goes, well, Dad, why don't you just humanize it? They have AI programs that will humanize your AI response.
Yeah, he's already trying to break the code.
Yeah, they get more sound like human, but the AI does that for you too.
Yeah, well, I think our time is up here. Yuma, have a great weekend. Stay safe. This is Money Talk. See you guys in a while.
Yeah.
This is Derek Eggeberg, NMLS number 180899 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace. Place offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626.
At Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management, we understand that retirement is a journey. Our team is dedicated to helping you retire with confidence, providing personalized strategies tailored to your unique needs. Whether you're just starting to plan or nearing retirement, we're here to ensure your financial future is secure. Investment advisor services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. The opinions voiced in Money Talk with Tom Rush and George Davis are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial, or tax advisor prior to investing. Guests on Money Talk are not affiliated with CWM LLC, investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.